Hey, everybody. Guess who's back? It's your girl, Nyrus, with a Moment for Mom podcast. I feel like it's been forever since I last had a podcast sesh. But, honestly, I had to take a time out for myself. I needed a mental health break. And that included finishing school, graduating school, and just life and my kids and everything. So I needed to take some time for myself and reflect, self-reflect, and just get my head back in the game and get myself in a place where I am now, much happier, much just everything making more sense. And I don't feel bad about it because I feel like we all need to take sometimes a time out and just to self-reflect or just to have a time out for yourself or a break or whatever it is, and at the end of the day, some things will not make sense, but in the long run, in the end, everything kind of like just falls back into place, and you realize that it was much needed and it was for the best, and you're in a better place. You're in a better headspace and just a better place in general. So, with all that being said, I'm super excited to be back, super happy and just motivated and excited to start touching on topics and speaking with different women and different individuals to keep inspiring and keep motivating and just keep having topics like the ones that we touch on and I've touched on and we will touch on as a topic of conversation. Like I've always said in my podcast before, I created this as a space where myself and all those who join me can feel safe and feel open and comfortable enough to speak their truth and speak how they feel and not feel like people are gonna judge them and to help others understand that it is okay to not be perfect. It is okay to not be okay. It is okay because we all go through the same things, different times and different ways, but we do. So, I'm super excited. And I just can't wait to for today's episode. I'm excited. Something I've been thinking about since I started. Excuse me. And I think it's very important to talk about this. And the topic is entrepreneur moms, aka mompreneurs. I think it's super important to talk about this as a mompreneur myself. And I think it's a conversation that is long overdue, and I'm super excited. I can't wait to add my guests so that we can have this conversation. So stick around, and I'll be right back. So we're back, and I'm here with my two guests. I'm waiting on the third, but we're gonna start because this conversation is long overdue. So please introduce yourselves, my fabulous ladies.
So I'm Stephanie, and I am the owner and founder of Impulse Fashion, which is a multifaceted business. It is a woman's apparel line. I also do production, and I provide services like personal shopping, personal styling. I curate a lot of photo shoots for, big companies, small companies, individuals. I am currently working for a company called Nine Tailors, where I am their creative director, and I design all of their seasonal collections, as well as curate all of their product and commercial shoots. I mean, I'm all around in the fashion industry. One of the things that I'm kind of like starting to build on is calling myself like a fashion therapist, because for me, yeah, it's a lot more than just, you know, putting together looks. It's extremely important for me to build my clients' confidence. So alongside working their exterior, it is extremely important for me to work in their interior. So I'm Stephanie, your fashion therapist from Impulse. Yes.
Hey. Those vibes are crazy.
I like that.
So I'm Christina. I am the owner and founder of the Fuchsia Agency, and we are a personal styling and brand consulting agency. We work with real women on providing them the inspiration, the empowerment to become transformational in their own journeys, along with those that decide to open up their own businesses. I work exclusively with small businesses that are owned by amazing women. Mm-hmm. And we work on their overall presence online, at their actual locations for their content, that kind of thing. We were born in Lawrence, but we expanded in New York and then came back home to become superficial. And since then, we've also opened up our own online boutique that's style and size inclusive. So we carry statement and staple items for women, sizes small to 3X. Mujer X.
you gotta put that name on there, girlfriend.
Yes.
Snap, snap, snap. I love it. Let me just say, you guys is
girl.
Honey, I have a mimosa here.
Listen, we're fun. We're mad fun.
You guys, his vibes is very dope. I haven't met you personally, but I feel next time we need to have a
you call for like a night in, and
yes,
we're in like wine and heels.
It's yep.
So
so cool. It really is, though.
My type of people.
And with our kids.
And with our kid, maybe, possibly, if we don't have a babysitter.
Yeah, exactly.
They're there.
Exactly.
And with our kids.
Yes. So, each of you have kids.
I am a proud boy mom. My little king is turning 2 years old and just under a month. His name is Emilio, and he is a lot of things, but he's amazing and he's beautiful and he's just like me. And I like to say that he's my laziest assistant, if you will.
So I am a girl mom. Stephanie? This little girl is definitely a mini me. She is.
Oh my God, she so is.
She is everything that mommy is. She is all about, you know, making sure that her image is all on point and that her styling is on point. But she is 4 years old. But truly, she's like a 15-year-old stuck in a 4-year-old's body. Like, she is too grown for me. But she honestly is my best friend. So I'm also a single mom, and we have really learned to depend on one another.
That's amazing.
And as crazy as it sounds, right, because she's only four, but one of the things in this journey as a single mother that I've learned is that, you know, your child is only as young-minded as you kind of like raise them to be, you know. One of the things that in the Latin community is that our parents are very good at hiding a lot of things. And mm-hmm. then you become an adult and you don't really know how to really navigate through certain challenges. And with my daughter, one of the things that I want to do for her, you know, alongside is show her that you could do anything. Mommy has been able to accomplish so many things. And for her, I want to be as transparent as I can be with this young girl because she's going to be a woman one day, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't ever want her to feel like, damn, I don't know how to really navigate through life because mom kept things from me. You know what I mean? But
that is so real.
Yo la trato a ella. She's my 4-year-old baby, of course, but there are certain times that I have to talk to her. Like, she grown. Yeah, listen here, girl. Yeah. Sit down. Let's talk real quick. Come on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think Wiley joined us. Wiley, you there?
My bad.
How are you, darling?
I'm doing well.
She's okay.
Sorry.
It's good. So introduce yourself.
Flo. I am the Sugarista, or that's my business name, and that's the platform that I am on here to talk about, I guess.
Snap boo.
That's right, honey.
Yeah. Single mother of two, proud from Lawrence. Here to do my thing.
Nice today, baby.
Yes, always.
What
boy mom
are you? Yay! A boy mom or
I
a girl
couldn't
mom?
Be a girl mom. It doesn't really fit. Like, if you know me, you would be
I'm
like,
not
oh,
ready.
Yeah.
I'm not ready.
How
11
how
and 7.
Old are you?
God bless.
Thanks.
Okay. I'm a boy mom.
Oh,
also.
Lord, oh my god, twins.
God bless boys. You, girl.
And a,
that's
10
a lot
year
of
old.
Wine.
Yeah, that's what I'm late, but hey, you know,
it's a lot, but. When you guys are, when you guys want to laugh, you should listen to my twin. So, I was telling the girls that I don't personally know you guys, but I follow you guys on social media. We all know Liz Beth. I guess that's the connection with everyone. Carlos is my cousin. And, you know, I think everything you guys do is dope. I think for me, the reason I started with my Moment from On Page and my podcast is, number one, to support women. Anything women, I'm for it. I'm supporting. I'm empowering. I'm reposting. I'm there 100%. So I feel that it's important to come together and just... Help each other shine in our own individualities. And, you know, I think it's important, and I'm glad and grateful that you girls are here and that we're able to do this and have this conversation. So thank you for joining. My first question, I'm going to go with Wally. When did you start your business journey?
Like, full on working for myself only, right before the COVID hit.
Mm.
I was always, you know, the best employee at whatever establishment I was at. And then I was kind of in the midst of, like, it's easy to settle, you know. Entrepreneurship can be very intimidating. So I was always a great worker. But then in the back of my head is like, man, I'm great at this. I'm good enough, you know. But it's a scary thing to kind of just detach yourself from
a whole entity,
you know. And so right before the COVID hit, I had like my little vision board. And that's like the first thing I highlighted in hot pink.
Yeah,
I was like, this is gonna get done first. And it was like, you know, finally deciding like what it was, because skincare is so vast. That's what I am, an esthetician, and there's so many routes you can go with it. And so for me, I'm not like a sales pitchy type of person. I like to let my thing speak for itself, you know what I mean? And so I wanted to do something or take on the task of providing exceptional hair removal. I have a thing with like instant gratification. At first I thought I like to pop pimples. Well, everyone has pimples, but everybody got a bush. So I go, I see it, I rip it, I feel so good. And it's like, it's a different feeling. Like, you got to be in this field to know. It's like, you just feel so good. So, hair removal was always a thing that I found to be very, not challenging, but interesting. And especially for me and my culture, we're not taught, you know, your mom doesn't take you to the freaking hair shop or whatever at 12 to get your wax. It just doesn't happen. I'm Dominican. So a razor was all I know. And then I was like, well, wait, you know, this doesn't work. That, like, I'm getting dark spots, I'm getting discoloration. And I talk hot shit. Sorry if I can't cuss. But, you know, so I have to feel a certain type of way. So my skin has to be A100 for me to be like, you know, I feel beautiful. I am beautiful. That to me is what my thing is, you know? So I just took that upon myself and kind of like read on different hair removal things. I got into waxing. waxing was like the one thing that I like stuck with, other than like facials and different spas. Like the jobs I would keep were hair removal jobs. Then I got into lasers and stuff like that. And again, it just came back to me being able to treat my girls, so people with darker skin. Mm-hmm. Laser is all contingent on skin color. So mm-hmm. they have this,
yeah. which
eventually I hope phases out, where they're judging what kind of treatment you can accept on based on your ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, laser sees color, and so if you have melanin, the laser might burn you. So mm-hmm. I can't really promise you a thorough hair removal process without, you know, compromising, yeah. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With sugar, I avoid all of that. And it's also something that I kind of mastered.
Wow.
Came up with my own technique and things like that. Like, you can go to other sugarists, but they're not going to do what I do because I literally made it up. So I'm kind of proud of that.
I'm so proud of you.
That's awesome.
So exciting.
That's awesome.
Stephanie, honestly, I feel like my journey started way back when. Fashion has always been a thing for me, but it wasn't until I got into high school that I was like contemplating. I'm like, damn, I want to do law or do I want to do fashion? And in high school, what I started doing was like selling denim bags. Like, I would make denim bags, I would sell them. I remember like telling girls, like, if you bring your own denims, it's $2 off the purse. And then from there, I went to Mass Art, and I really enjoyed the school, but one of the things that I didn't like was that it kind of always felt like they were creating a bunch of cookie cutters. And at, you know, 18, 19 years mm-hmm. old, it was really hard for my professors to accept the fact that, like, I came in there already knowing who my demographics were, my market was going to be, my niche was. Like, it was really hard for them to accept that. Like, they wanted me to do all types of, you know, ridiculous things. And I'm like, yeah, that's not my market. So they started grading me based on personal feelings right. towards that. So I decided to leave my junior year and venture out and kind of like rediscover myself. And I realized, you know, even though I'm a creative person and I love fashion, I didn't want to work for another designer and put my name under somebody else's thing, even though that's what ended up happening for me anyways now with the company that I work for. But at that age, I also said, I'm like, I need to make money. Like, at the end of the day, like, I'm a business person by nature. I was just like I want to be able to sell a product that I'm making. But so I ventured out, went back to school, got my merchandising degree, and I realized how big the fashion industry is. It's so much more than just design. There's so many different avenues. And
definitely.
Yeah. So, like, you know, Impose was a brand that I had been developing for years. And it wasn't until I was about 24. I'm 32 now, so about 24 was when I finally picked the name. And I decided, as of like maybe 2-3 years ago, I was like, okay, my company is just, it's more than just women's apparel. Like, and it's more than just these. It started becoming like, oh, I can produce photo shoots, I can produce fashion shows, I style for designers for like fashion weeks, for, you know, New York Fashion Week, Boston Fashion Week. And I started curating all these different elements to the brand. And I'm like, oh, this is crazy. Like, this is going so many different places I didn't even expect to be doing. So, you know, the brand has been a work in progress. I'm actually super excited. I haven't really talked about it. I'm getting together all the marketing stuff, but I'm actually launching the first 2 of 5 series collections for my brand at the end of the year. So I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm super excited.
Oh, that's dope.
And I'm also looking for a space so that I can really start establishing the company and being able to offer, again, all these different things. And I'm actually also tapping into teaching. It's one of the things that I do actually enjoy. So if I can offer my knowledge and what I do know, what I have experiences, in my opinion, the best form of education is experience. For many people, school is not it. You know what I mean? Like, you actually have to live through it in order for you to truly understand the craft mm-hmm. and what it takes, or what it, you know, what goes into it. So for me, you know, the brand has just been a work in progress. Like, it'll always be a work in progress. So it's been over 10 years, I feel like, that I've been working on my brand.
That's amazing.
I think it's amazing that you're actually thinking
it's about powerful. Fiche.
That's yeah, very, I am. Very dope. I love it. I do a lot of guest speaking. I'm also a part of Boston Arts Academy's Fashion Advisory Board. So when I do get to go to these classes and talk to the students and teach them some of the stuff, like Wally, I get this crazy feeling of like fulfillment. Like I'm like, damn. And I always used to say, and I'm like, I can never be a teacher. I don't got the patience for that. Hell no. Mm-hmm. But honestly, as of recently, in the past like few years, I'm like, yo, I really love it. I really love providing whatever form of education. Like if I can give that to somebody, I'm there. I want to be able to help in that way. Especially, you know, in our communities, in the Latin community, the Black community, Hispanic community, like we don't really see what goes behind this. Yeah, exactly. Like we don't really see what goes behind the work. Like we just see what people show on social media. But really the people that are making it happen in the fashion industry are the ones behind the limelight. You know what I mean? And I want to be able to provide different avenues for all these, you know, up and coming trendsetters, you know what I mean? Like, I want them to know that, like, it's more than just designing. Like, there's a business aspect to it that you can tap into and make lucrative money. Everybody talks about financial freedom and all that stuff. And it's like, let me help you do that, you know? Let me help you get there.
But also, I think that in our culture, and even just as females in general, we don't, you don't see a lot of females trying to help another, especially because there's this thing where females, not all, but a lot of females feel like, you know, if I'm shining, I can't help you shine because it takes away from me. So when you saying like, you know, I'm willing to help, I want to put people in a position to also win. That's big. That's huge.
Yeah, 1,000. It's the crabs in the barrel mentality. And you know what people need to realize, this world, like, Lawrence is, that's home, yo. Like, Lawrence is the mecca of so much talent and people don't realize it, but Lawrence is a speck in the world. Like, this world is too big for anybody to feel that you can't do what they're doing because, no, like, shut up. The world is too big. Like, there is room for all of us to be successful. Believe me, there is so much room for us all to be successful.
Absolutely. You know, and we're also in a time where there is so much focus right now on the female anything, like the females in business, females in education, females in politics.
Yep.
Females in societal roles. I mean, period. It's a great time to be alive, you know. Oh God. Well, I like to joke around and say that if I didn't do what I'm doing, I don't know what I would be doing, because I'm not like really talented at anything else.
That's not true.
This is just what I've always done. It's like this thing I've always just gotten up and was just naturally fueled by. When I was a kid, I am the not only a middle child, but I'm the only girl out of three boys. So, when all of my brothers were with my cousins and playing PlayStation, and oh my God, my escape was going into my room and closing the door and like sketching these extravagant dresses on like my homework and shit. and then in I want to say middle school, I took this entrepreneurship like elective, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever, because I was like, oh my God, I can do what I do. Because I hated school. I was a horrible student.
Same.
And I was like, I can do what I do, and I can like survive, you know, and I can like, and I can eat from it. So that kind of put me into a perspective at a super young age that like, not only do I have to do what I do best, but I have to do it on my own, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I went to the Greater Lawrence Vocational School, and I did fashion there throughout high school. And then I did my college studies in New York, and I was in the design program for about a year. And I was like failing out of classes. I was like, I'm so fucking bored. I know how to sew. I'm just like learning new ways to like make a skirt. Mm-hmm. And luckily they had just launched the fashion marketing and merchandising program. And that was like my door to the world. I was like, I can do... I can provide this guidance and this clarity through content, like through writing, through magazines, through styling, through collaborating with other brands to connect them with the right people. So in college, I interned for everybody and their mother, and I got my first a big job at a trend forecasting agency that only had two offices in the world. So like we were like big wigs, and it was like the coolest experience. And that was where I thought I was gonna like get my like first big fashion job, because up to that point, obviously I was interning, I was working as an assistant, I was, you know, doing small things here and there. And then when I saw that there was an editor position available, I went so hard for it. And I went through the interviewing process, and like I even met my own team. And then we got bought out by our like direct competitors.
Mm.
And that obviously like shattered my world. I was like, what the fuck? So then at the time, my mom, who lived in Lawrence, still does, she was having some medical issues, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go home. And I'm going to press reset. And I am going to make sure that if I go that hard for absolutely anything again, it's going to be mine.
Word.
mm-hmm. Yeah. And at that time, I think I was like, I don't know, 22. You know, and coming back home was never an option for me. You know, I had mm-hmm. this like big glamorous, expensive, draining life in New York, but it was everything to me. But when I saw that I had like the talent to be recognized on that level, and I knew I was good, you know. Uh-huh. So I was like, I'm gonna do this, you know. And I started my own blog. And then when I came back to Lawrence, shortly after, I enrolled in a business accelerated program. But all I had was a blog, like I said. So I went in there like, I just have a blog. I clean closets. I'm like super, super fun. And I'm super creative. What can you do with me, essentially? And I made it to the program, and I grew my business. I think at the time it was like 22, 23, and I was like, I'm gonna do this. And that kind of put me in a position where I was like doing this styling work for these you know, clients again that had their own small businesses. And that just like kind of led to content creating, and I would host these events all around town that were all about empowering your own feminine image and how to seek your best self, essentially. And the blog, it turned into its own, like, baddie. Mm-hmm. And now we provide styling services, we do content creation, and we have the online store. And I also have to mention that I went full time when I was 7 months pregnant.
Nice.
I was doing the business, and I had like two other jobs, and I had a partner, and you know, a thousand other things going on, and then I got pregnant, and then I was like, well, you know, again, it's now or never. And we've been full time now for almost 2 years, and it's rocking, man. We launched the online store in the middle of COVID, essentially, because it was a project that I was like sleeping on for a long time. And while everybody was at home, and I was just like missing the connecting to my clients and to my friends and to, you know, people like you all, essentially, that I was like, I need to launch this so that I can keep providing these like gems forward, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my spiel.
I can't mind the work.
Yeah. thank you for that. So you guys,
I just recently single moms? Got engaged.
She said yes. Congrats.
Thank you. But he's my partner. He's my partner. He's my son's father. We're business partners. So I got a partner in this thing. Thank you.
Love it.
So thankful.
Go you. I'm single. AF and proud of it. Married to my goals, baby. I was waiting down for a while, you know. Bad relationships are having.
And Wally and Stephanie, single moms.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm liberated. I am liberated, and I started late. I didn't have like a lot of classes or workshops or a lot of people inspiring me. I'm usually my inspiring friend. Like, I'm that friend to be like, yeah, go for it. You know what I mean? Me, I had to find out within myself. And again, being in a toxic relationship, it's hard to look within and be like, yeah, you got
this.
No,
it's impossible.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, impossible. You're the only one saying that. Mm-hmm. But I found it in me to be like, you know, I got this, and now I got this.
But it makes it that much sweeter, though, Wally, right? Hell yeah. Knowing that you were able to uplift yourself, mm-hmm. accomplish those goals yourself. Right. And girl, I feel you. Yeah, I feel you.
Cheers.
Because, like I said, sometimes it's hard being like the funny friend or the friend that always looks to seem to be mm-hmm. like, yeah. Because, you know, the funny friend doesn't need anybody to tell them jokes.
The strong friend.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm at a place right now where it's like, you know, I'm more open to not being always that person and allowing other people to like lend me a hand and mm-hmm. tell them, you know what, can you help me with this? Because I'm very prideful. And that's also something I can admit now. Mm-hmm. In business, it's a team effort, whether you want it to be or not. You're 1,000% only as strong as your network.
Yeah,
you're mm-hmm. only as strong as your network.
You'll learn.
And I'm very big on law entrepreneurship. Yes. Like, I love to try to network with everyone that's within my immediate township. Mm-hmm. Like it was They're mentioned gems. Before, like, Lawrence.
You have gems in your pocket right now.
Word. Yeah.
And Lawrence isn't on the map because we haven't decided to put ourselves there.
Right.
Once we all start, like, the Jews got it, everybody else got it, because they're pulling their money and they're putting it back in their community.
Yeah.
We can take one of these mills and make it our own mall.
1,000%.
One or two girls, one or two loans, one or two people that are in business with a proper LLC and everything else in order, and let's go.
Let's
you
go.
You know, I told this, but this, as soon as I heard Ken Mami, I was like, perfect. Like I said, I'm just one person with a million ideas. I'm sure everyone on here has their million-dollar idea in there, and it's just like, we just got to get it out and start turning those wheels. Mm-hmm. And so it's a go, you know?
1,000%. I told my dad, I said that. So, because I bought, I closed on my house this past January. Congrats. So, thank you. And, you know, I told my father, I'm like, so I got my first home. This house is for Sky. I was like, girl, you already got a home, property, and investment. This is for you. Next one is for me.
Right.
I'm like, I need a multifamily. Or I told my father, I'm like, I would love to look into a commercial property. Commercial. It's funny that you say the mill. Because I told my dad, I'm like, honestly, what I would love to do is own a mill in Lawrence and be a manufacturer, not only for Impose, but to be able to provide a manufacturing facility for other small businesses that need it.
Dang.
And so I'm with you, Wally. Like, I've been thinking about the same thing, and I've always said this, like, no matter where I go, I'm always repping Lawrence. I don't care how bad, how negative people might see Lawrence for what it is. This is the thing. You know, unfortunately, there's always a gray cloud over us, not only because we are a minority community, you know what I mean? And I understand that there are things that happen in our community, but that doesn't mean that everybody in this community falls under that category. There are so many talented people in Lawrence, and it is ridiculous, yo. Ridiculous.
But people want to act like they're not hip, because even for music artists got to come here first.
Right.
Centro, no.
The one.
Hello. Remember it's Centro? Everybody goes there.
It's crazy.
So it's like crazy. I love the concept of this podcast. I love the concept of Mami. I would love to make, like, for me, my thing is skincare. So, like, an aesthetic connect with all the aestheticians.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And host that. And going back to the manufacturing, I make my own sugar, my own soap. I would love to be able to be like, okay, now you guys need, like, you know, supplies for whatever, come here.
Come here. Exactly. Keep it in the U.S. Yes. Keep it in a small rural area. Yes. Bring business to the community of Lawrence. Right. I've always said this. Like, I think I had a conversation with a mayor, Mayor Sullivan. This is when he was a mayor in Lawrence. And I sat down in his office and I was like, so what are you doing for our community?
Right.
I was like, because honestly, Lawrence is so full and rich of history. And it kills me that is not something that is marketed out there, you know.
Not even that, I mean we have one of the most popping downtowns for miles.
We do, right? We do. You want a true Hispanic Latin experience, go to Lawrence.
Exactly. And who's trying to like create this mastermind plan to like make sure that not only are our businesses being acknowledged, but like represented.
Right.
It's got to be us.
It has to be us.
Like, I'm big on, like, I want to like make it a thing. Like, Lawrencepreneurs. That's what we are. We're from Lawrence. We're here to get our bag. We're not going to stop. It's not going to stop because so-and-so said don't go there. Mm-hmm. I have girls coming from Attleboro. I got girls coming from Randall.
Yeah.
From outside of Boston, Connecticut, to come see the Sugarista. It's very important that business starts here, because this is where I'm from.
Hello.
And it's been used against me. The last time I worked at the Seaport, they were like, how about you leave Lawrence Flow in Lawrence? And I said, boo, Lawrence Flow is the one getting paid.
Right.
These girls at the Seaport, they love me. You might not like it because I'm a little loud, and in your break time you want to do something else and I'm here lit because I'm having a great day. You're not going to stop me, because that's my energy.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So it's like, no. Like, especially where I chose something that I genuinely like, you can't tell me to calm down. I'm happy. Like,
oh,
I'm genuinely happy.
You know, people will say that. I have been told, well, you know, your light is too bright, and some people feel a little intimidated by it. So you know what I said? I'm like, okay, so this is the thing. Either you crank your light up or you crank that bitch up, because I'm not turning that shit down for nobody.
Not for no one. Hello. And it's not conducive to anyone to I'm big on that. Like, I'm one of those people that I'm like, if I see your potential or I see anything that might even slightly inspire me, I let you know. Why? Yep. Because it doesn't cost me a thing. To let you know,
imagine a world, a society, and even if it's just ours, even if it's just here, we're like, we're all constantly pulling each other up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that we're all constantly like passing around these like power vibes.
Yep. You know? Ladies, honestly, think about this, right? You have, let's say there's a Chinatown almost in every major city, right? Chinatown, obviously predominantly all Asian folks, they support one another. Nobody talks about Lawrence, though. Lawrence is predominantly all Latino, Hispanic. And a lot of the businesses, like I want to say 90% of the businesses in Lawrence are all Hispanic owned.
Yep.
Now, given that they might not be fully owned by Hispanic because they probably haven't had the education or don't know the ins and outs of that business as. But the face of these businesses, todito somos Latino. Exactly. This is a Latino ran community. Nobody talks about that. Like, how is it that this community is also thriving? And I want to thank the millennials, honestly, who have truly ruffled feathers here politically. You know what I mean? Like, they've been the ones that have been in the forefront. And I'm not saying that we haven't, because we, our generation, we have been so focused on being entrepreneurs.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I think that, yeah, if we start having these type of conversations within our community and we start educating the younger folks and inspiring them to see the bigger picture, I think Lawrence can be such a history. Yes, it will be.
It's going to be. Honestly, like, I have so many girls that are like, oh my God, you're so inspired. And I'm like, girl, thank you. Cause I'm doing it as I go. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I'm doing it. You know what I mean? And people are like, oh, I heard about your business in such place. And that's what I want. I want it to be like, I even told Lizbeth this. I was like, when I start hiring my girls, I want them to be girls from Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want this craft to be, I want to teach it and I want it to be something that's national, but I want us to have it first. It's important for me to do that.
1,000, you know? Yeah.
And when I have my storefront, I wanted to be in Lawrence. Right now, I'm in Methuen, and that even bothers me because I'm like, ugh, it's not Lawrence, you know? And I something minimal like that, you know what I mean? But I just feel like I want it. I'm 978 all the way.
Mm-hmm.
As annoying as it may be.
No, I feel you.
You know what I mean? I'm very much that. So, yeah, because I will be that difference, you know?
Say it loud, bro. Well,
guess what? That's where I'm from. Lawyer.
Well, what?
Chill. This is where all the pretty girls is at.
What was the hardest decision you made when deciding to become an entrepreneur?
For me, honestly, Stephanie. I think the hardest thing, let me see. It's breaking away from the conditioning. Christina kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but like, that's the hardest thing. And even Wally, you touched on this too. It's like thinking that you can't do it without having a corporate job. You know what I mean? Because that's something right now that I'm actually dealing with. Like, I want to invest myself 100% into the brand, but I'm so scared. I just bought a home. I got a kid. You know what I mean? Like, I'm by myself. Like, I'm like, I know. And the thing is, it's like, just like Christina, like, I believe I'm very good at what I do. 1,000%. Like, I do an amazing job. You know, my clients love me. However, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes love don't pay the bills. I be so scared. You know what I mean? So, in the launch of the clothing line coming out this December, like, I had to tell myself, my job just told me that, you know, told the company, like, you know, we might be shutting down in 2 months. And I'm like, oh my God. So all year I've been looking for, I'm like, I need something different. I have been applying. Now, mind you, I have my degree. I'm well experienced in this industry. I have been getting rejected from major retail corporations. And I had a friend tell me once, like, yo, Steph, like, you got to stop playing. Like, I think God is letting you know, like, you're not meant to work for somebody. Like, stop fucking applying to these jobs, dude. Like, and I was like, no, but I need the money. They're like, I know. They were like, I know. But Steph, like, honestly, there's no way that with your credentials and your resume and, like, there's no way that they just keep saying, no, like, honestly, it's a sign. Like, don't worry about working for somebody else for security. Like, you are gonna do it. I believe in you. I trust that you're gonna make it happen. I'm like, oh, okay. And with my job telling me this recently, I was like, okay, God, you know what, I leave it in your hands. I honestly cannot fight it anymore. I'm like, you know, this is the moment that it's gonna happen. I've been wanting to jump, but I've been so afraid. So I think for me, it definitely is the societal norms of thinking or believing or conditioned to think that I can't do it without having 2 or 3 jobs lined up because, you know, God forbid something don't work out. You know, I have all this stuff on the line.
I think that's the same for everyone that's about to jump into their own business or starting something. It's easy to go to a job and know that you're gonna do your hours and you're gonna get a check, versus let me bet on myself 100%. For sure. And sure. You just don't know. You know, that's hard. It's hard. Wally, has it been difficult to juggle between being honestly, mom?
Yes and no. I have a great support system, honestly. Like, I can never be one of those people that's like, oh, my kids, mm-hmm. oh, this and that. Never.
Yeah, that's blessed. Such a beautiful I'm blessed. Thing.
Shout
that's
out to my sister. Thing. Shout out to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And their dads, you know. For
yeah, 1,000.
Both their dads, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't complain in that regard. It's been harder juggling my racing thoughts and my business more than, you know.
Yeah.
My kids are also on board. They're little means, and it's cool. Intense at times, but it works, you know what I mean? Like they know what needs to be done and help, you know. I'll be making my sugars, or I'll be packaging this, and the little ones like got the labels, the other ones like I got the glue gun. I'm like, put the glue gun down, we're not doing this. You know? So it's that's hard because I'm here, you know. I don't have a space where I can go, but I set up, you know, half the house is my lab and the other half isn't. So, you know, when we're in the lab, we're all in the lab, because again, I'm not gonna, they need to see it.
Yeah.
You know, like now I can absolutely afford little things and that. And I'm not like Steph just yet, where I've got my own property and things like that. But
you will.
Amen. I've been able to do things for them, and I want them to know where it's coming from. Like, oh, you want to go here? Well, look, we had to make this many soaps, and look mm-hmm. at how long that took us. You know what I mean? Make them grateful for it.
Yeah.
But I'm blessed with a team of people that love me enough to show me that in ways that matter. I never have to worry about, you know, my kids and my business, stuff like that. And yeah, you'll see them at the shop if you visit me, but that's, they're my team too. So it's like, you know, you're dealing with, like I said, I'm
doing the whole it package.
Yeah, I'm doing it as I go. And my little men are the CEO crew. And the CFO of this. So
mm-hmm,
they're right. Right there with me.
I think that's what's beautiful about being a mompreneur, that we yep. all have our own things going on, but we all are moms too. So it's like we're gonna mm-hmm. have a grown up conversation, and we may tell our kids, mm-hmm. "Hey, tate quieto, yep. chill, hold on, drink your juice, wait a minute." You know, like we're all gonna yep. have that.
And I like
for
that.
Sure.
We're all moms. It was a point in my life where I was like, "Oh my god!" But
so, you
what
know,
did I do? I had to befriend girls that were just like me.
Of course,
that's right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just people that are gonna be like, "Well, I gotta go. Exactly. We'll pick it up. Let's go. I got these kids. We got 30
yes.
minutes for
exactly yeah. again." Like. Going back to your network is your net worth.
Yep.
That doesn't only have to do with money. It's about like the energy that you Word. Surround yourself. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah, and the wisdom.
The you know the quality
yes.
of people and, mm-hmm. and resources that mm-hmm. you shower yourself Correct. With, you know.
1,000%.
So
difficult for you to juggle,
I mean,
Christina?
I have to say, because
between being
like, I feel like this is there's a lot of girls like me. There's a lot of girls like me. I didn't necessarily think that I was gonna have a child. I've always just like been ferociously passionate about what I do, and that's straight up, you know, like I've lived, breathed, and ate like my work. And I met this boy, and we for the first time I felt like there was a way that I could have a personal life, and I can have an extension of myself that's not my work. But with that being said, my family is my number mm-hmm. one inspiration. Mm-hmm. It's my number one motivation. But it has been definitely one of the hardest things personally and professionally I've ever juggled with. You know, like, like I was that girl that could send out like 1,000 inquiries to media per day. You know what I'm saying? I was that girl who didn't need to sleep. Because there's a huge event tomorrow morning I'm like standing in front of. I don't need to date because I am providing myself to these women that need me, you know. And so when I had this baby, like a lot of women, you know, I became this new version of myself that I didn't expect. I didn't know her, you know, like I needed to like reintegrate myself with the girl in the mirror, because not only is her burning passion and purpose on this earth is to help women feel amazing about themselves. I'm also a mother. And I have this child that completely depends on my energy, my happiness, and my knowledge to blossom, you know? And I have a partner who needs me too, you know? So definitely it's been a beautiful, humbling process for us as a family to become a family of an entrepreneur. My son, as small and young and naive, you know, as he is, like, he's hit, you know, like, to when mommy has to wrap packages and
go to work
and do content, like, you know, and my partner, forget it, like, he's, like, 10 toes down, like, what do we have to do, you know? Because even though I am a mother, and I am a partner and a wife to be, like, one thing that came before all of that and fuels this whole operation is my work, you know? So definitely I've had to like relearn my purpose and my energies and my limits. Oh my God, my limits. Like, that's just something I didn't know. Like, I need sleep, you know, like I need love. I need things now, you know? And I feel like as women, we're so neglectful towards ourselves. Like, like it's crazy that I would cater to this demographic just solely off of pure heart. Right. But, as becoming a mother, and an owner of a business, like I feel more connected to women as ever. Like, it's so easy for us to put us last, you know.
That's a woman for
and,
you.
And I'm exactly. Cool. Like we constantly say, "I could wait." I could not do this right now. I could sacrifice these 10 minutes. Fuck it. You know, I've learned that in order for me to be successful, like talking about these scary, you know, career moves, like it was terrifying for me to be in a position that I was, honestly, I was almost 8 months pregnant, and I was being exploded by my job. And I was like, you know what? If it's the only and last thing I do, I'm going to make this work, you know? And I feel like that's the energy of women. Like, I'm going to make this shit work. But yeah, I think that's definitely like, one of my largest like throbbing struggles is like, how do I be a mom? How do I run this business? How do I scale it? How do I, you know, keep my man hot? Like, it's just, it's so much.
Finding balance. That's the
yo, and even that, like the term balance,
the top of the top of the chamber.
We have this like plateau perception of it.
It doesn't exist.
It does not. But for me, I feel like balance is whatever works for you.
Absolutely.
You know, because for me, it could mean something totally different than for you. Like, I'm listening to you talk, Christina, honestly, and I'm like, I close my eyes, and it's like,
I had to
your
just
words
wake
are
up
just resonating in my heart.
Day of
because
like feeling like I had nothing left.
Yeah.
And saying, I'm going to take these 10 minutes. And I don't care what's going on. I don't care what has to get done. I'm taking these 10 minutes to breathe, you know, like to so that I can keep doing this. Like, we all need that space or whatever it is that works for us to recharge, you know.
It's funny. I had a friend of mine ask me, you know, she was kind of like venting and, you know, same thing. Like, she's a new mom. She recently got married. She's like, she has a stepson that lives with them. And it's like, you know, there's so much going on. And, you know, I was like, yeah, you know, well, at least you have a partner that you can fall back on. I'm like there are days I'm running away from my kid. Like, I'm like, I need a minute in the room.
I've
been looking for a gym nearby that has a daycare because I'm like, I need my time. And I have to tell her too, these are the type of conversations that I have with my 4-year-old. I'm like, listen,
it's real.
It's not you, baby.
It's not you. It's me.
It's not you. And then like, another factor to that is like, let's say that you have a good quality partner in this game, right? That person can be as ambitious as you are, and they have a thousand things going on as well. So like, that term balance is constantly tested.
Yeah, no.
My partner, for example, is in social work, and he's as passionate about what he does as I am. So there are times in the week and in the weekends where my parents are like angels, like saving grace. Like, we have to send off the baby for 2 days and just get you done. Like,
that's awesome.
It's what it is.
That you have that.
You know? And I'm so grateful. Like, oh my, like, for example, right now,
that's amazing.
The baby's at my mother's house. So I can do this. Yeah.
My kids are just running around, running wild,
downstairs.
Because they know that they're supposed to be in bed, but they know I can't be loud.
That's right. To have that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because that's the type of boys I'm dealing with, manipulators.
My phone on mute.
That's
and
my
like,
boy.
Styrena, stop jumping. I hear you.
Yes.
Like, chill. Night,
same
night,
here.
It's coming up. Like, you know, just because I'm on the phone don't mean nothing.
Right. Right.
Stop trying.
Right.
But so, like everybody else, though, it's so important to have a supportive. And it's true what they say, yo. Like, it takes a village. I am super grateful for my family, too.
Yes.
Honey, kudos to you. I'm gonna drink to this right here, real quick. Hold on,
girl.
Thankfully, before my baby, like my parents, all Dominican and ignorant, like they were still like, I don't know what you do, but you do you, girl.
Yeah,
you know. Now they're like the best grandparents in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
and they're like, we'll
take them. So that you could do what you do, you know, because that's what you do.
Wally, what has been the hardest thing to change or adapt to with becoming an entrepreneur?
Oh, she is connected.
She might be talking to her kids right now. She might have put herself on mute, honey, because I did that shit like 3 times.
Yep.
I'm on mute. Straight up. I was
booty call.
Sky, every time she hear that door, but she's like, Mommy, I'm not doing anything.
I'm sorry.
No te pongas, no te lucas, because I can hear you. I'm not deaf.
Exactly. I can hear you. Okay, so until Wally comes back, from time out, what has been the hardest thing to change?
I think you asked me that. Entrepreneur. I think that was one of the first questions that I had said. It was just like the reconditioning of like how society kind of makes you feel you know, you can't do it unless you have like 2 or 3 jobs and stuff like that, taking that leap.
I would have to say that it would be Christina, the financial piece.
Mm-hmm.
Being an entrepreneur, like, you just spend differently than like if you just had a job and you were on payroll. Like, you spend on just different things in different ways. And when you're full time, like, these monies and the way that you move them is critical. It's so critical. So definitely, like, being like immensely intentional. Like,
yeah, 1,000%.
My budget. There are times. There was the year that I started the business. I went on a no shopping streak, and that sounds easy, right?
Hell, like, no. Legit. For who?
Sounds easy to who?
Girl, literally,
that is not
literally
easy.
For an entire year, I did not shop.
That's hard.
I didn't buy myself a shirt. I'd rather try fasting
because, like, that's more realistic for me. Because, girl,
exactly. Like, I dead ass like didn't shop.
Exactly. I cannot.
It's crazy. But
I'm with you. I'd rather fast. Like,
not only was it great for my budget, but it was also like a time for me to really, like, reflect on, like, what the hell do we spend on anything?
Oh, yeah.
Food.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like...
Me, it's food, yeah. Food and unnecessary
food. No, it's...
Challenge yourself. That's great.
At the time, I was, like, a shoe fanatic. I'm still a shoe fanatic. I love me some beautiful shoes, you know, forever. Like, I'm a shoe girl. And at that time, I was living in New York all these years. I just had all this shit. Like, all this stuff. That I was like, I'm not even enjoying it. I'm not even wearing all of it. So, like, why do I keep shopping for more? And that became honestly like a blessing, and even how I like ran my business, because I was like that stylist or that shopper for clients that was like, girl, you don't need that. And they'd be like, no, but I need, no, you really don't need that. I'm telling you because of experience. Right. you know, and I would organize these closets in like this, like, just fresh perspective of like, honey, if you haven't looked at that in 6
get rid
months,
of it
in 3 months, in a year, you're never gonna touch it. I promise.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, the definitely the budgeting of like being a full-time entrepreneur changes the game, you know, and you fuel your own business. Like, you're the one paying for it.
Budgeting for me has been just budgeting for the things that need to get done.
Mm-hmm.
The trademarks in, making sure that I own what is mine,
my
intellectual property.
Yeah,
that's something. Again, I went to school and like I'm a dropout. I'm a GED. I have my GED barely, and that's nothing I'm ashamed of, because of that I've been so good at what I'm doing, because it's like this is me. I'm not gonna work for anyone in an office. I got fired from a nursing home job because I fell asleep with them. I was like, I thought it was nap time for all of us. I gotta watch.
Work here.
You need to go. They were like, Flo, you gotta go. I'm like, fine. I was tired anyways.
So you're like, I quit.
So, you know, like, so for me, my budget comes to that, and it's like actually finding people to trust. And I have not. And if you guys can put me on later on, that'd be great. I have not found anyone that's from my ethnic group to help me become trademarked and all these things. So I'm out and I'm dealing with toda gente que they se la tengo que dar because they're the best at what they do. Exactly. And that's why I look at my sons and I'm like, well, I want you to be him. Mm-hmm. I want you to be that kind of, you know what I'm saying?
That'll come, you know.
I so, think because my Dominican dollars for... I want to put back into my Dominican
1,000.
Yeah. I want to make sure that my business is as good as Tim and Joe and Joanne's. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're
so
all
my budget has gone
recognizing,
you know,
that.
I made some money, and typical, you know, untrained mind or enslaved mind, I should say. I went and I bought me 2 Louis bags. I never had one, I bought 2.
Damn.
I could have bought a small
one.
Yes. Okay. Like me being being ignorant. Like, I don't need a Louis bag. I don't need none of that. I need a trademark. Mm-hmm. I need a storefront. I need the Sugarista to be on a billboard.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The Louis bags can wait. Because right now, what I'm putting in that Louis bag.
That's true.
Girl, everything can wait. Everything
can
wait.
And I don't want it to be a Louis bag. I should be buying Impulse bags.
Hello!
I should be buying my people's bags. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I just want to give you a hug right now.
We have to flex too.
Yeah, buddy. Yo, last week I spent the most money. And even though I've already been on this journey and I've already gained, I've already lost 10 times forward. I spent the most money on the most beautiful merchandise.
Yeah, no, I'm heavy on
and I was like, you know what? This is what I would spend on a vacation. I'm not like a big partier per se. Like, I spend my money on fucking food and travel. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what I just spent, I would have spent on a trip to Costa Rica. So if I can, like, flip this 5 times, I mean, shit.
Yeah. So that, to me, has been my biggest thing. I'm like, deja de esa mente de pobre. You don't
see.
I'm over here talking about this smack. Like, I ain't got 2 chains, 2 gold chains coming. Because I got that. Like, you know, I'm trying to break free of all the things that I feel.
Social media makes you feel like you need to get. Don't get me wrong. I like nice things. I like my Chanel's. I like, you know what I'm saying? I like my nice cars, my nice watches. Oh, I like a look. I'm working towards living a luxury life, right? That I can afford, But again, like you're saying too, like, it's also going to be something that, aside of being able to buy a Chanel bag, and I said Chanel bag because that bitch never goes on sale. So if I want to resell it, it'll be the same price.
You're making money. That's an investment.
It's an investment, honey.
That's not a, you didn't spend it, you invested.
Exactly. So, no, but it's true. It's like, I think we get so caught up. And somebody asked me years ago, like, oh, what do you prefer? You want to be famous or rich? I was like, man,
wealthy,
I want to be rich. You know what I'm saying?
I never ever want. I hate people in my business. You taking pictures of me in the morning?
Nah, no, thank you. The fame, I don't need it.
I've always
the people that follow me and all that stuff. That's what I need, because at the end of the day,
I've always said that.
Fame is only gonna bring a lot of stress, distress, anxiety.
And then an upkeep. You know what I'm saying? An upkeep.
Yep.
Your brand is your brand, but
money gives you power, and it gives you.
Margarita is a totally different.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? For me, I kept my identity as a whole for a long time. Like, I'm not showing anyone who I am. Why? Because not for nothing, but like, I'm a little loud. I'm a little obnoxious on the real, because that's just who I am. I'm that type of energy. You're going to either, oh my God, she's amazing, or oh my God, sacame de aquí. So I couldn't let that kind of hinder my business in a way. So I kind of didn't show people that the Sugarista was Wally Flow until they were like, oh, this is great product. This is great service. Mm-hmm. This is, now I can let you guys put 2 and 2 together. You know what I'm saying? Because because who I am as a person might not appeal to who you are, my job is still good. My services are still going to make you, you're a satisfied client. Whether you're my friend or not, you're going to be a satisfied customer, and that's what you're looking for. So, it's for me always the wealth, never the fame.
who are you guys' biggest supporters? And I'm not talking about your family. I'm saying each of you have a business that you're providing
women,
a service.
For me, it's always women. That
who has been like your biggest supporters?
But ironically enough, the same girls that I thought I can't be in Lawrence. No one in Lawrence.
Yeah.
They're not going to come see me. They're not going to. All of those girls are the first ones like, hey, Flo, what's up? It's you. Hi. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's amazing.
And it feels good. It feels real good. Also, just my Lawrence people. I hear that people say and that they're talking and everything. And it's from all different types of people. That's and beautiful. I love it. So it's like the same people that I'm trying to give back to are the same people that want me to succeed. So it just motivates me even more.
That's awesome. I love that. You know, for me, it's actually men. It's so weird. Like, it's not weird, but
that's
it's
awesome.
Weird.
That's
it's
just funny. Like,
that's awesome. That's funny.
Like,
you know, like, why? Because you're hot?
Well, I mean, hey, it's a man's world, but a woman run it.
Exactly, exactly. No, but, and you know, one of the things that I have, you know, so in being single, you date, right? And so I have met a gentleman who is absolutely amazing. And one of the things that I said to him when we first started talking, it was like, you know, to date somebody like me, you need to have a certain type of confidence.
Correct.
You know, you have to be extremely secure in yourself, and you have to trust that I know how to conduct myself as a professional businesswoman. 1,000%. But for me, a lot of the support, it does come from men, and exactly. It does come from wealthy men.
Good.
And a lot of these men are, you know, professional athletes that come to the shop. And this is and another reason why for it too, is because I work for a company that, you know, we design custom suits for men and women, right? But predominantly the demographics in that shop is all men. So I'm going to be around a lot of men. Now in my own personal business, men are always seeking for assistance in that department. They don't want to shop.
Oh yeah.
They don't know what the hell to wear. You know what I mean? Pick it out
for
me, organize it, like do what you got to do. Yeah.
They know the sneakers they want. That's about it.
That's it. And even that, and even with that, sometimes you have to guide them in that. But with that though, there comes a kind of territory that you have to know how to navigate. And unfortunately, and it's an unfortunate thing, because why can't I just run a business without having to worry about a man hitting on me? You know what I mean?
Girl.
Why I just can't do what I do? And okay, yeah, I'm attractive, right? But why can't you just treat me like the next, you know, the next person? I'm a business
like,
person. I'm
like,
a business like woman.
Someone else.
Exactly. So one of the things that I have learned is that, you know, sometimes you have to utilize what you got in a professional way. You know what I mean? I've definitely learned how to navigate around these type of conversations that sometimes can be uncomfortable. I think the older that I've gotten, the less tolerable I've become of certain BS. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like, I'm still a businesswoman. You're going to treat me as such. And if you don't like it, I can certainly, you know, refer you to somebody else. And if you don't, you know, and I've said this to male clients before. If I'm going to be a distraction to you, you let me know and I can find you somebody else to work with.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, there has been men that have completely like been like, you know, fuck it, I'm not going to respond back. Or they've respected that. And we've had a great, you know, business client relationship. But it sucks. It definitely sucks that for me, I honestly would love to generate more female client. Being that at the company that I work for now, I spearheaded an entire project where I designed all women's suits and I opened up a completely new demographic for the company that was there, but not really there. You know what I mean? And and now we have all these women coming in to get power suits and all this and that. You know, I would love to see more women clients support me. And seek more of that, you know, sort of fashion therapy that I want to offer, because a lot of times, you know, just because you think that you could put on this and that, ya tú estás bien. There's conversations that I would love to have with women to inspire them to, again, re-implement or recondition a certain mindset to them so that they also know how to navigate themselves when they put on a certain outfit and walk out of their house and stuff like that. But you know, for right now, it's the men. They're bringing the money.
I feel like the education that you're going to bring is going to bring you that in turn.
I can't wait.
I honestly feel like once you start reaching out to women and really connecting
with them. For sure.
Because
it
might be a little intimidating to have somebody hotter than them try to dress them. Like, well, after what? No, of course that looks good on you. That's not, you know what I mean? As women, I deal with women on a regular.
Uh-huh.
You would be, we are our own worst critics.
Well, 1,000.
The amount of self-consciousness, self-disdain, and just undermining
sabotage.
Our own. Yes, it's your own mind. Like, it's an intimate service. So obviously I'm there with you. I'm in there, whatever. And it's like so vulnerable and it's I'm like, girl, no, like you don't have to worry about any of that. We nitpick at the smallest mm-hmm. and most, like the la cosa que nadie, not even me, that's my job to notice. I didn't even notice. What are you talking about? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. So honestly, I feel like once you start educating women and being like, you know, make it more fun and just not as a serious, like, oh my God, I have to pay a stylist. Like, why can't I style myself?
Right.
I can't see the, you know what I mean? It's a lot of self-doubt that goes into it versus a man just thinks like, I don't want to deal with it. Let the shorty handle
right.
it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't even dress myself. That's kind of where I see it might be the reason you're not, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But tapping into that womanhood, I feel like it will be amazing for you.
Yeah.
And also because and I think that also for women, a lot of women, mm-hmm. Women yes. struggle with a lot of like self-confidence and then having a female that's secure and sure of herself
yep.
kind of, and because mm-hmm. what you're doing that's is positive, mm-hmm. but if you're not a confident yeah. woman, you're not going to take whatever comes out of your mouth in a positive, positive way. So if you're not confident, if you have your self-conscious and you're like, oh, what does she think she is? Why does she think she can dress me? You know, it's always that kind of like negative
energy. And the thing is, it's like, I'm super cool. Like, you meet a person it'll come, and I am you're not super like,
dope.
I feel like
your energy's dope and people are going like, you know, to, people are going to
judge and have our own subjective feelings towards people based on like what you think and
prejudge.
Yeah, correct. Like, and then you meet some, and this is the thing, how I carry yes. myself should not deter you from how, having or how you carry with yourself. Me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it does happen that way. And, but then people will meet you and they'll be like, oh shit, be like, I know, girl, you were so scared. I don't
exactly. bang. Exactly. Yep.
None of that.
9 out of 10 girls that meet me. Oh,
like, damn, you're so cool. I got you.
It's crazy. I'm just like, yeah.
Yo.
And my body's just like yours, honey. My problems look right. just like
I'm
yours.
I'm a little more sarcastic, but hey, we cool.
I've gone on vacations, and we haven't done this in 2 years, which I'm so upset. But exactly. I usually host, right? Exactly. I put together this year a trip with all the girls, right? And we have fun, we have moments where we talk and stuff like that. But one of the things that the girls notice every time that we've traveled together is how we are like magnets to other women. And they're like, yo, like, it's just so crazy how like in our own hometowns, like people don't, like they don't want to kick it with us because they think that we this or that. But yep. we come out to another state and these women love us. And I'm
they
like,
love.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, yo, we're yep. not the women that they think, whoever they're portraying us to be, we're not like that. We just like to have a right. good time, yo. Right. The vibes are always good.
And that's why, again, it goes back to putting that spotlight in a Lawrence and in Lawrence the way it should be,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, you might have dealt with that type of woman. Well, did you hear about the whatever connection going on over
yep.
there? You see that mill that now is a whatever, and then did you see que mami head spearing this and that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the talk. That's mm-hmm. what needs to be mm-hmm. highlighted, because there's way too many dope women, like in general. Like, I follow so many dope girls, and mm-hmm. Yo paso por Lambona más rápido que envidiosa, because I'm there with the likes, I'm there with the heart emojis, I'm there like, oh my God, there's no yeah. popping, sharing and shit, because that's just genuinely how I feel. Like, well, if I preach all this show love, why am I not showing love?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm the first one, like, yes, if I genuinely like you, you do not have to question me, you don't have to ask me to post your shit, because I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm just always, because that's how I feel. Like, it's only gonna be cool when yep. you make it cool. You know
in
what
the
I mean?
Same way.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Do you of guys course. Think yes. that there's negative
oh my
connotations connected to being
again,
a
like,
mompreneur?
Going back to what I was saying earlier, there isn't. I'm sorry, I'm not going to say that. There is a current conversation that is becoming to that is evolving beautifully. Into the layers of being a mother, period, and then being a working mother, and then being a mother that's you know services the community, and then being a mother that runs her own business. Like, we're definitely starting to open up our arms and connect with each other. But yeah, I mean, the mom guilt,
so is real.
Definitely a lot of self.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think 2020 is going to be the hardest year.
Because
of the remote learning
right now. Like, yeah, you have moms who are like,
it's like, wait.
Like, with this whole new role, and this shit is hard.
Listen, I didn't go to school to be a professor. That's all I'm saying.
Word.
Girl, I am so thankful that I just have to like play around and like put up some flashcards here and there to my 2-year-old. And like, I wasn't good at school. Like, I personally, but like,
no, I'm talking
at.
About like my so fifth I, grader, where the algebra, I, like, Papi, you're never gonna use
yeah,
that
but
in your
I,
life,
like,
but
I,
you need to pass this
I
class.
I can't imagine, like, exactly,
I keep
like,
it way
I
too real.
I cannot imagine the being in charge of my child's education. This shit is
like,
treacherous. This shit is scary.
Right. Like, if I don't get a certificate of an educator by the time this is done, they're going to have to talk to me. The
yeah,
it's bro.
Not
it's me a certification because I'm official.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay, my bag and so many moms yeah. that I've
right.
Had,
we need we need a teaching degree after
statistics
this.
As of the past 2 months. So not just fathers,
exactly
not what dads do, but
right.
there has been so many mothers that have had to quit their jobs
oh,
to
course.
Be present for these. I'm sorry, motherfucking remote classes. Like, hello.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
And, no están pagando por eso. No. They need to do something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's remote.
Yep.
But
it's
like,
you don't care.
Your
they don't
child
want
you
to be
you
too involved.
Want
to
be
they don't want you to be too involved.
With the chancleta
oh, don't
or
help
with the correa.
Them.
Like,
I honestly feel like it's not even fair to the kid.
Exactly.
Do
they don't want
you away
mm-hmm.
from being
mm-hmm.
home. Oh, no, this is actually school. Like, my kid, one of them's 11.
It's
he's a little
tough.
Older, so I tolerate less. But my 7-year-old, it's like, well, Papi, sit on this couch and, you know, ignore your pet and ignore the house, ignore mommy cooking, focus on school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I have a designated area, but when the food's
mm-hmm.
ready, he smells it. And I'm like, oh, no, you got to wait till lunch. He's like, girl, I'm hungry now. Bring me my plate. So, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, now it's like, it's so mompreneurship 2020. The ones that make it this year, we the real ones. You know what I mean?
We
like,
official.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, we deserve it.
Yes. Christina, you mentioned guilt, and I wanted to ask you.
Oh my God! It's
have you ever felt guilty about following your dreams?
Yeah, again,
with
like,
being a mom,
going
with
back
being a mom, because you know it's
this
like
dream has been for me. I literally don't know how to do anything else. So like I need to make this work by all means necessary, you know, and to then like be a mom, right? And you have this crazy amount, new level love for this person, right? And you're like, if I could, I would spend every minute of the day with you, you know, and I don't ever want you to feel neglected or without, but mommy gotta
mm-hmm.
go
mm-hmm.
you know and that's every time I mean
right
you know
right and it's hard you're fighting
one thing
in the good and the bad in your brain.
My situation that like when I was pregnant I was like I'm gonna be this mom that's present and that's here and that's making all the organic puree from scratch.
Yeah.
And hey, I'm an entrepreneur. So I'm going to
Dominicans
be I'm going to work from home. So like, so I could
we
do
all
this
that.
Shit, right? Yo, nursing was like one of the biggest trials in my life, right? Mm-hmm. I went back, like I had my first meeting after 3 weeks and just that meeting like just because I was like you know still trying to figure out like where I was standing in this you know chaos that was my new life
It was a moment where I was like, should I pump or I'm going to be good? Because I'm going to just go work super quick and I'll be back. I ended up being at this meeting for like 3 hours. Oh, yeah. My boobs started leaking mid-meeting. Thank God. Thank God I was with like three other women there who were like, I don't even know why you came. Like, girl, we get it, you know? And I ran back to my mother's house and I cried so hard because I was like, I just feel so bad. Like, I feel like I should be getting out there and like getting it done. But like, I really also want to be right here with my baby who like freaking wants my boob every hour. You know? So I've learned to cope with the guilt by like placing results behind it. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen,
right.
I'm allergic to fucking wasting time. You know, so I know if I'm going to be away from my child for a day, for 2 hours, I'm going to make it count.
Right. Same.
You know, and that's how I sort of like hype myself up in those moments where I'm like, damn, I should just be like home on the couch with my kid. You know.
Yeah. Me? The sugar
girl. What keeps you guys motivated?
Sugar reach the sugar bar. I want one in every state.
Financial one, freedom is motivating.
Yes, for sure. But literally changing the way you do skincare. Like, after you go sugar, you're not gonna want a razor, you're not gonna want to wax, you're not gonna want to do much. You're gonna be like, this works. And you'll be back in 4 to 5 weeks. And after a couple times, you won't need to be back in 4 to 5 weeks. And then you're gonna be like, I love this woman. I love the sugar. And honestly, that's what I'm looking forward to. It's just literally changing lives. It sounds cheesy, but
it's not cheesy
because it's like, oh my God, it's just a wax. But if you're an avid waxer, then you know it's not.
It's not cheesy at all.
There's a lot that goes
into it. It is not cheesy.
A lot of it is like, oh my God, what am I doing here? This torture again, da da da. But then after, it's just the way you feel after.
Honey,
I wouldn't trade that feeling for the world. I just feel dope, clean, ready. Yes. Like, ain't nobody better than me after my
wax. You know what I mean?
So I want to give that to everyone. I want to give that to everyone, you know? And then as far as like my business, residual
income. I don't think
income,
that's cheesy at
so
all.
So developing a couple storefronts where I don't necessarily
awesome.
Have to be there working. And then just passing on my legacy to my lineage, you know? My cousins all have daughters. They can all, you know, be part of this. My cousin herself, my sisters. I want to create a position for everyone that's here. You know, my family here. And then our generation and then so forth and so forth. Pero eso fue lo que yo hice, you know? Like, I have to do something for my lineage because I'm trying to break generational curses. They didn't teach us how to do that. So like I said, I'm going to do it as I go. I feel like a couple stores will get me there. So
yeah, right. Same here. For me, the goal is to, you know, have that financial freedom and also teach my daughter that that she shouldn't go to school. But if you're going to go to college, let it be with a purpose and with a goal.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. I want to teach her, because even when I go to the factory right now, working with the manufacturer, like, I take her with me.
Good,
And you know what's great about this manufacturer? He's Dominican, which I love.
So proud. I don't know him, and I'm like, yes.
And I talked to her about it, too, because the mom guilt definitely does play in, and it does play a part in the sense, like, sometimes I feel like I'm too invested. But I communicate to her, like, I tell her all the time, I'm like, listen, like, I want you to understand that mommy's working this hard because I want you and I to be able to live a comfortable life. I don't want us to worry about living paycheck to paycheck. What does that mean? That means that I don't want you and I to feel like we're struggling financially, like that mommy doesn't have money to buy you McDonald's. She's like, oh, and I'm like, I know, girl. Imagine I can't get you some chicken nuggets from McDonald's.
That's a sad date.
Ooh. And during quarantine, one of the things that happened was as soon as we went into quarantine, I went into straight business mode. I'm like, okay, an essential mask. I need to start making them right now. I was on a chair, no word of a lie, for 4 fucking weeks, y'all. Excuse my language. But 4 weeks, my back was killing me. like, I just felt like I was not spending time with my kid. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm like, Sky, I want you to understand that I'm doing this because I want to make sure that we have some money in case right. anything happens. And she's like, why, mama? So that we don't go broke. Exactly, honey.
Exactly.
We don't have time to be broke over here. Nope. You know what I mean?
Nope. And honestly, that's right. Like me, I try to tell my sons because I got mentoring. You know what I mean? And I want them to be men of doing mm-hmm. what they want, mm-hmm. not what they need to do. Because a lot of men do what they need to do.
They need to do
work. You know what I'm saying? And that's not always a happy spot exactly. to do what you need to do.
No, so it barely is. It barely right,
I want them to earn their financial freedom, but above all, I want them to be
yep.
wealth of health and mental. Like exactly. I want them not to fucking with their mental. Now I had to hit the block because I yep. need, no.
Yep.
Or I had to deal with so-and-so because no. You want to be a painter? Pinta. You want to be a freaking carpenter? Carpet. Like whatever you want to do, whatever it is, mm-hmm. I want you to do that because it genuinely makes you happy. Yeah. Not because it makes the most money. Not because it's going to make you do what you right. do because I got you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm at a point in my life where happy. I'm like, if I have to be the burra with everything on my back, I will. But I want my men, like, whoever ends up dealing mm-hmm. with my men, I want them to be grateful that they are who they are. You know what I mean? And that mm-hmm. only comes with them being mentally healthy and emotionally supported. And again, it's hard because they're boys.
Yep.
And I don't want to baby yep. them or girly them or whatever the hell it is. But I'm mm-hmm. aware of mm-hmm. emotions and how hard it is to you know, not be able to be who you are or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of us deal with a lot of things like that and we're not told, you know, it's okay. So for my boys, I'm like, no. You want to cry? Let's go. You don't got to cry in front of your friends, but you yeah. want to cry, come over here. You know what I mean? So I want to, above all, my freedom is that. I want them to be free of having to prove anything to anyone or having be free of having to deal with anything because they have to.
That's, you know, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Anyone. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly how I feel. I feel the exact same way. What advice would you give
it will
a mom?
And honestly, have a plan. Yeah. If you have a yes. passion, you know, do your yes, research. Yep. I wouldn't say like jump into it right away, but I definitely said get your ducks in a row, do the research, ask people. Don't be mm-hmm. shy. Like, you know, because right. I think a lot of times we walk around like very prideful. Like, ay, yo no puedo hacer preguntas. Yep. I can ask a question because I don't want to exactly. seem dumb. You know what? Those yes. people right there don't or get I don't wanna bother far. You. You have to ask questions. You know what I mean? You need to mm-hmm. ask help. You need to utilize the resources that you possibly yep. can to get you what you got to be. And once you mm-hmm. have all that stuff, get a checklist done.
Yeah.
But... Like while yes, I will encourage you always. Like if you have a passion and you know that it can be successful, find your resources, find mm-hmm. your support group, understand how much work is going to be, and don't give right. up. Do not give up because it's gonna happen.
And think of future self. It might be hard right now, but future self.
What? We're gonna be looking back good. Like, ha, girl, remember that time, honey?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. It is
the hardest, most grueling, scariest moment honestly. Probably of your life, but it will be the most pivotal, the most transformational that you can make happen for you and for your family. Mm-hmm. You know, our children will be children of leaders.
Yep.
You know,
that's the goal.
And of whole unicorns that said, I have a dream.
Yep.
And it's not and I don't have a clear road to reach it, but dreams don't work unless you right. do. That's like my mantra right now, because even if I'm tired, I'm like, nobody's gonna do this shit for me. I gotta do it.
I literally tell my sons all the time, I'm like, no one's coming to save you, buddy. No one's coming. Yep. Just your mama. I'm here.
Dreams don't
get exactly. up and go.
Yep.
Dreams you gotta submerge yourself in knowledge. As someone that's going to take on a business, make sure you're as knowledgeable, like Stephanie said, as knowledgeable as you can on the subject.
Be a student. Yes. For sure.
Ask
for
questions. Sure.
Yep.
And whoever you admire, follow them. Stalk them, harass them. It's fine.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's what I did. I followed the esthetician.
No,
I
was flattering. Like, nope, I'm here.
And whatever courses they had or whatever workshops, anytime they spoke, anytime yep. they went live, that was me. I was there. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I admire you. I want to be like you. You're someone that inspires me. I have no shame. Those are not my mentors. Those girls that have spas in New York getting a million followers. Those are the girls that DM me right back like, oh, hey, Flo, exactly. What do you need? This and that. Why? Because I prove them to them that it's not just a like or two. It's like, nah, I literally want to learn from you.
Yeah.
You know, and you might get a couple of no's and whatever, you know.
And that's everyone, okay.
Not everyone is up for giving their gems, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of people haven't reached that level of secureness within themselves that they're able to share with you what they've learned. So don't take that with a grain of salt. Keep it pushing. There's a book. For every no you get, read a book.
Yep.
And try to learn it on yourself. You know? YouTube University is great also. so that everything you do is ethical. You know, if you're trying to be a professional, get your licensure in order, get everything you need in order so you can be up to par with the states and everything else as far as like with my industry, you know. Make sure everything's up to par, nobody can mess with you, take your license away or anything like that. And other than that, just say you're the best until you do you are. Mm-hmm. You know,
believe in your brand. Your work says it for you. Nobody else can believe in you. If you don't believe in yourself, have to truly believe in what you do, own what you do.
And master
it. Master it, yeah. And, like, you know, it's learn. Okay to be humble, but honestly, sometimes fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, if you're good at what you do, then...
Yeah, own it.
You know what
you
I mean?
Be own humble, it. But aware, you know?
Right.
Don't dim your light because the room's... They're too... Nah. It's dark in here. Light it up. You know what I'm saying?
Light it.
Do you. Always. Like, and another thing with the whole mastering thing, make sure that you're learning and practicing and doing. Yep. You're not a master just because you say you are. You know what I mean? Make sure that, like me, I'm telling you, I'm the best sugarist. Well, I've only recently started to say that after 20-something thousand people have already, you know what I mean? Like 20 emails and people talking and everybody, my old managers, everybody. So now I'm like, you know what? I feel comfortable saying that. I can say it. And even then, I'm a little meek with it because I don't want to come off as too cocky or overly confident. But every day that I'm... Every day that I have a wait list, every day that I have DMs of people just giving me their feedback, I feel more comfortable in my lane of being the best at what I do. And it gets easier, you know? And it feels good.
Yep. Well, that was my last question, ladies. And I will say that each of you are a huge... first of all, you three are badasses. And second of all, you each inspired me. I feel like I think I'm older than the three of you. And... You know, of course, you're never too young or too old to inspire anyone, but each of you with your gems that you guys threw and shared and your knowledge, you inspired me. And I know that whoever listens to this is going to be as inspired and probably
thinking about starting something.
They're going to hear this and they're going to be like, yo, today's the day. That's it.
Skincare, I'm here.
I'm going to hit up Wally and Steph and Christina, ask some questions.
In general.
No, but even
hit us up. That's what we're here for.
Not even just for like what specific you guys do, just for inspiration. You know, for inspiration.
It was a pleasure.
Exactly. So thank you, ladies. I appreciate you 100%. Thank you so much for joining
me.
And I look forward to collaborating with you guys in the future with and meeting you guys in person. Keep doing what you're doing.
Inspiring.
Keep being badasses. Keep killing the game. And thank you for joining me. Appreciate you guys. So that was the end of a very interesting and inspiring conversation with three talented mothers who are also entrepreneurs and are motivational. And even for myself, in my 40s, I've read a statistic that said 57% of mompreneurs are 40 years or older, and 88% spend less than 3 or 4 hours a week on hobbies. And it just gave me my, like, what I've been feeling
more like reassurance and just more motivation, and I felt more inspired because it's never too late. So if you're listening to this and you're in your 30s and your 40s and you've been thinking about having your own business or creating something that you know that you're great at, it's never too late, and now's the time. Just do it. Just do it and be your own biggest fan and push and don't give up. Like the girl said, it's going to be hard. It's going to be one of the hardest things that you're going to do because you're betting on yourself. And not having that security is scary, but it's so rewarding in the end. And I truly hope that you guys listen to this podcast and feel as inspired or as motivated as I did, and realize that just because we're moms doesn't mean that we only have to be moms. We can be moms. We can be dope musicians, dope artists, dope creators, dope entrepreneurs, dope business owners. We can be in Congress. We can be anything we want. We don't have to just be a mom and allow the guilt to stop us from pursuing our goals and our dreams and just society in general. So, you know, I hope you guys truly enjoy this, and I hope you guys continue to tune in, and please share. And if you know anyone in your circle that has a talent or has something that they've been, that has been lingering in their mind and you know that they're great at, you should push them and motivate them to go for it. Because why not? You know, the best thing in life is when you're working, doing something you love, because it never feels like work. So with that, I leave you guys. Stay tuned for the following episodes that are coming. And I hope you guys enjoy, and catch you on the flip side.